Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
To talk to you just a very elementary and a very simple thought on salvation this morning. Can I ask you this question? And I may just let you remain seated because I'm going to skip around as I read today. But can I ask you a question today? If you die before this service is over, where will you spend eternity at? You know, a lot of times in our life, we're worried about what someone will say about us or what somebody will think about us. But you know what? Eternity has no feelings. Let me explain what I'm saying. When you're in hell, you're not going to be worried about what everybody's saying about you. And eternity is something that we don't need to dabble around with today. Eternity is something that is very sure today, and there's one of two places that we'll spend eternity, that is heaven or that is hell. There's no way around that today. And I want to look at salvation today and just give you a simple little thought. Father, I love you this morning, and I thank you for being good to us today. I thank you, God, for mercy and grace, and I pray, God, that you would help us for a little while as we look into your word. God, I pray that we see somebody saved in the service today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to look at this today. And I thought about this week as I was studying and I was reading this week and going back through this passage of Scripture, and I was thinking about salvation, and I was thinking about the day I got saved. Boy, that was a glorious day, and if you're saved, I believe you would say amen right there. I'll never forget the day that I got saved. It was July the 20th, 1994, at Turner's Creek Baptist Church in a little place called Courtney, North Carolina. Anybody ever heard of Courtney? Anybody ever been to Courtney, North Carolina? In a little place called Courtney, North Carolina, just right on the edge of Davie County, where Yadkin County and Davie County comes together. I was a 16-year-old young man, and I was lost and on the road to hell. My dad was a preacher. Matter of fact, we was in youth camp, and Dad was hosting the youth camp. There was hundreds of young people there, but I'll never forget that night, Brother Randy. I got lost. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I realized that I was going to die and go to hell. Man, I got lost that night. And can I say something? You'll never get saved until you get lost. I got lost that night. And Brother Gray, I realized, man, I was going to die and go to a devil's hell. Boy, it was a good night, the night that I got lost, because it was also the night that I got saved. Amen. Boy, I made my way to the adult men's prayer room, and I knelt and prayed and asked God to forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart and save me. And you know what happened that very moment? The good God of glory forgave me of my sins and saved me that very moment. I'll never forget that day. Boy, it was a good day. I want to ask you this question. Can you tell me about the day you got saved? Can you tell me the day? You say, preacher, I don't remember the exact day. Let me tell you the only reason that I know that it was July the 20th, 1994, because years later, I found the VHS. Y'all don't even know what that is, part of y'all. I found the VHS of the service that night, and that's the only reason I know. It was marked on here. That's the only reason I know the date. That's the only reason I know the day. But can I ask you, can you tell me about when you got saved? Man, if you was to die right now, do you know for certain where you'd spend eternity at? I'll say something to you. Let somebody walk in the back doors and blow my brains out today. Guess what? I'm not one bit worried about it. I'm going to heaven. You let a blood clot go to my mind right now, and me fall over dead to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord if you're saved. I'm not worried about it. I know that I'm saved. Do you know that you're saved? I'm not here today to sow doubt in your mind. I want to say this to you. And I don't mean this, I'm not saying this prideful. I'm saying this thanking God for it. You cannot make me doubt my salvation. You say, what do you mean I can't make you doubt your salvation? You don't doubt your... I refuse to allow the devil to cause me to doubt my salvation. If I listened to the devil, I would doubt my salvation. But you know what? I'm not going to listen to the devil. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I know that I'm saved. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that if you was to die today, that your eternal home would be heaven? If you don't, I want to take the word of God today and show you how you can know you're saved. Show you how to be saved. The coming of the Lord, there's no doubt in my mind, the coming of the Lord is at hand. I really believe that my generation will see the coming of the Lord. I believe that in all of my heart. Well, I want to say something to you. I may die before the Lord comes back, but whether it's by the way of the rapture or by the way of the grave, I know that I'm saved today. Number one, if you're going to be saved today, number one, watch this. We're in Romans chapter 5. I'm going to stay right there. And I'm telling you, it's simple. I've dealt with it before, but you know what? I'm going to mind God. Number one, you got to see yourself a sinner. You got to realize you're lost today. You got to realize that you are a sinner. We could go take the time, and I'm not going to take a lot of time on it, but if we was to take the time, we could go all the way back to Genesis chapter number 3. God created man in his own image in Genesis chapter number 3, but God also gave man a free will to do as he will. And you know what happened in the Garden of Eden that day? Matter of fact, I'm reading a very interesting book right now on the gospel according to Satan. I'm using some of the thoughts out of it in our men's Bible study the first Wednesday night of the month. But when you go back to Genesis chapter number 3, the devil got Adam and Eve to believe a lie, and Adam and Eve sinned for the first time. Adam and Eve sinned for the first time. And because of that, now, every man that is born is a sinner. Listen to what the Bible said in Romans chapter number 5, verse number 8. But God commendeth his love towards us in that, watch this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Know what the Bible said in verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. Watch this. For that all have sinned. For that all have sinned. You know what the Bible said today? The Bible said that everybody is a sinner. You say, preacher, I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. You might be a good person. Well, no, you're not a good person because the Bible said this. There is none good, no, not one. Are you with me this way? You say, no, preacher, I am a good person. You know, a lot of times, matter of fact, Brother Robert and I was talking this morning, and we was talking about a couple different individuals that need to be saved, and we made this. You know what? They're good old boys, but really they're not. There's none good, no, not one. Now, let me tell you something today. According to the Word of God, every one of us sitting in this room today are sinners that deserve to die and go to hell. We're all sinners. I'll say this to you today. The ground's level at the foot of the cross. No man stands above another man at the foot of the cross. The ground is level. If you're ever going to be saved, number one, you got to see yourself a sinner. Number two, watch this. We must see ourselves in need of a Savior. You got to realize that there's some things you can't do by yourself. I really thought, Brother Aaron will come over here and we'll put them legs on that altar out there. And Brother Bailey, here's really what I thought. I thought, we'll pick that thing up and we'll carry it out there. And you that hasn't seen it, it's about 14 inches wide, it's 7 inches thick, and it's 13 feet long. And it's solid oak. You know what I found out? They ain't going to happen. That's true. We took a 2x4 and put under it and stood it up on its side and propped it up on its side so we could put the legs on it. What I'm saying is this, there's some things we cannot do on our own. There's some things we cannot do on our own. And can I tell you something? Getting to heaven's not something you can do on your own. You'll never make it to heaven on your own. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We must see ourselves in need of a Savior today. Watch what the Bible said in verse number 15. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 15. Watch what your Bible said. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead. Look what he said in verse number 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. Look what he said in verse number 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Look in verse number 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Look in verse number 21. The Bible said this, that as sin hath reigned unto death. Look what he said in verse number 23 of chapter number 6. For the wages of sin is death. We've got a problem today. Every one of us is sinners. Every one of us is condemned in the eyes of God. And every one of us has got a problem. And that is, we are sinners and we need somebody to help us. We need somebody. Listen to me. You'll never make it to heaven on your good works. So, preacher, I'm in church this morning. I'm glad you're in church this morning. I'm really glad that you're here today. But you're not going to heaven because you're in church today. You say, but preacher, if you call a work day this week, I'm going to try my best to be there. I hope you are, because there's a really good chance about daylight Saturday morning, if everything goes as planned, we're going to have a work day and sow some grass and wash some dirt off the parking lot. But you'll never go to heaven by coming to church and sowing grass and washing the parking lot off. You say, preacher, I give my whole paycheck to the church this morning. I'm glad you did. And I hope you will again next week. But that'll never get you into heaven. The only way you'll ever get into heaven is by realizing that you are a sinner and you need a Savior. The night I got saved, in the world's eyes, I was a good boy. The night I got saved, I was 16 years old. I never took any drugs, still haven't, unless I got a kidney stone. Somebody say amen right there. Thank God for the lauded when you got a kidney stone. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I never took any drugs. I never drunk any alcohol. That's the way the old timers would say it, wasn't it? I ain't never had none of that alcohol. Are you with me right there? And they was born again. That's the way the old timers say, I've never drunk any alcohol. I've never been drunk a day in my life. I've never been a high a day in my life, unless it was something that they give me at the hospital when I was having surgery for kidney stones. I've never been high a day in my life. Are you hearing me this morning? When I was 16 years old, in the church's eyes and in the world's eyes, I was a good young man. Oh, but I was a lost young man, and I was headed to the flames of hell. Here's the reason why. For by one man sinned into the world, and death had reigned to death, or death had come because of sin, and it passed upon all men. And because of that, we need somebody to help us. You got to realize you're not going to save yourself today. You got to realize you're not going to get saved by coming to church. You got to realize that you're not going to get saved by giving to church. You need a Savior today. You need an advocate today. You need a go-between today. Amen. Watch this. Number one, you got to realize you're a sinner. Number two, you got to realize you need a Savior. Number three, watch this. We must realize who the Savior is. We got to realize who's going to save us today? Well, go back to verse number 1 of chapter number 5. This is all right here in chapter number 5 this morning. Can I just say this? You can't improve on just reading the Bible. Number 1, verse number 1 of chapter number 5, therefore being justified by faith. By faith. By faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith. I want to say this to you, and I'm going to hit it again before I'm done. There has to come faith. There has to be an element of faith when it comes to salvation. We was talking in Sunday school this morning. We was talking about heaven. We was talking about the judgment seat. We was talking about those crowns. We was talking about the 24 elders in the book of Revelations, which is a type of the church today. And I'll deal with all that tonight. I hope you'll come. But we was talking about all that, and here's what we come to the conclusion of. Sometimes that's overwhelming. Brother Stan, when we really think about all of it. But it is through the eye of faith that I believe that. You say, preacher, what if the Bible is not true? And what if there is not a heaven? And what if there is not a hell? There's a lot of what ifs going on right there. But can I say this? If it's not true, if there is not a heaven, if there is not a hell, this is still the best life I could live. I still know where I was at last night when I woke up this morning. It's still the best life to live. But hear me and hear me well. There is no what ifs to it. The Bible is true. There is a heaven. There is a hell. And there must come a time in our life through faith. Well, you believe it. You said, preacher, what is faith? Watch this. I'm trying my best to be as simple as I can be this morning. Let me tell you what faith is. Watch this. Are you ready? I'm gonna illustrate faith right here. Are you ready? That was faith. So preach, what do you mean it was faith? Did I look underneath the pew? Did I check the bracing of the pew? Did I do a load test of the pew? No. You know what I done? I simply stepped up on it by faith, believing that it would hold me up. Some of you here today has practiced faith to an extreme because you have a Chevrolet. And when you went to your vehicle this morning and stuck the key in it, I disagree. Because that old white one down there didn't the other day. But you stuck the key in it, Brother Zeb. We turned the key. We turned that key because we believed by faith, we believed that something was going to cause fire to spark out there and gas to dump in it and it explode. We had a church van do that yesterday. Ain't that the truth? I mean burnt slap up within a half a mile. Of the church. Not this church where we was at in the foothills. But anyway, and that caused that motor to run. Then you push the brake and got a gear lever and this faith again. But when you put her in R, you believed that something from that shifter to that transmission was going to make the drive shaft turn backwards and back you up. Am I not telling the truth? And then faith was exercised again when you touched the gas feet to make it move. Faith was exercised again when you pushed the brake. Aren't you glad it become reality when the brake worked? Every bit of that is faith. You didn't know for certain that it would happen. You, by faith, believed that it would. Now, watch what he says to us. We got to see ourselves as a sinner. We got to see ourselves in need of a Savior. But we got to realize who the Savior is. If we're going to be saved, we got to realize, therefore being justified by faith, we're believing it by faith, we have peace with God. Watch this. through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do I, look, he said that we're justified and we have peace with God. Let me tell you the reason he's saying that we have peace with God, because if you're not saved, you don't have peace with God. If you're not saved, the judgment of God and the death penalty of dying and going to hell is present in your life right now. God could not look on sin, and God judged sin on Calvary. Why did darkness come upon the earth that day? Because God could not look on sin. You ever thought about this? You study the Old Testament sacrifice. That Old Testament sacrifice all throughout the Old Testament. Brother Randy, it wasn't beaten beyond recognition. It was just killed. But Jesus was beaten beyond recognition. Let me tell you the reason why. That Old Testament sacrifice was for one individual or for one family's sin. But Jesus had the sin of all the world placed upon him that day. And that's the reason Jesus was beaten the way he was. God was judging sin for the whole world that day. And the way that we are brought back in fellowship to God, the way that we are reconciled to God, the way that we are justified to God, it's through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says in verse number 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How do we have access into this faith? Through grace. It's because of the grace of God and faith that we believe that God will do it. Note what your Bible said. Watch this right here in the Word of God. Watch verse number 10. For if when we were enemies... I'm telling you what, that's what we are to God before we're saved. We're the enemy of God. Look what he says. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. That word reconciled right there, here's what it means. It means brought into fellowship from a previous disagreement. Brought into friendship or into fellowship from a previous disagreement. You see, I want you to hear something this morning. You had a disagreement with God because God hated your sin. We're all sinners. You're in need of a Savior because of your sin. But Jesus, the darling Lamb of God, was willing to go to Calvary and to die for your sins. And because of that, you can be reconciled. You can be brought into the friendship and the fellowship with God through his Son. John chapter 14, verse number 16. What did he say? Or verse number 6. Excuse me. John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me, and going to church and doing good works and giving you money. No. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But by me. If you go to heaven this morning, you're going one way. It's a one-way street. It's a one-way street. And let me tell you, the only way you're going to go through Christ. You're going to go through the blood of Calvary. Your works will never get you there. You try... Come start playing softly if you don't mind. You trying to work your... You trying to... Look here. You cannot completely straighten yourself out. See, preacher, I've had people tell me, you know what, I'm going to turn over a new leaf, and when I get this straightened out, I'm going to get saved. No, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to turn over that new leaf, but before long, that leaf's going to flip back over. Let me tell you the reason why. Because inside of you is the flesh, and you have a fleshly desire. And without the help of God, you're going to fulfill your fleshly desire. But when we get saved, we become a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's somebody living inside of us now that helps to keep that leaf on the right side, if you want to put it that way. You'll never be able to straighten yourself out. You said, preacher, I'm going to go to this program and I'm going to go to that program. And I'm not against programs, but the only program that will ever get you where you need to be is called the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Calvary is the greatest program that is, amen, is the greatest program that's ever been created. Calvary. You got to see yourself in need of Him. And you got to realize it's going to take Jesus to save you. Plus nothing, minus nothing. It's Him and Him alone. Watch this, I'm done. Preacher, how do I get saved? Well, number one, you got to see yourself a sinner. Number two, you got to see yourself in need of a Savior. Number three, you got to realize who the Savior is. It's Jesus. But watch this, chapter number 10. The Bible says in verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Look in verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It was probably 2001, 2002. I was in Kentucky State Penitentiary. There was a guy named Jeff that was there, and Jeff was pulling a lot of time. I'm not going into all that. And I began to witness to him and tell him about the Lord. And he began to talk about all that he had done. And I began to tell him that God wasn't interested in all that he had done. God was interested in what he was going to do at that very moment about his soul. And if he would trust Him as his Savior, God was interested in what he's going to do the rest of his life. Jeff was pulling 18 years flat. No chance of parole, flat time. 18 years, as long as he didn't get in trouble, at the end of 18 years, he was out. 18 years flat. He began to tell me everything, and I told him, I said, Jeff, I said, you can stop, man. You don't have to tell me everything. I said, I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. The Bible says, amen. The Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, let's take that whosoever out and let's just put it this way. For if Jeff shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jeff shall be saved. He's a big old fella. And back then at Kentucky State, you could wear your own clothes. You didn't have to wear jumpsuits. And he had a pair of them MC Hammer pants on. Y'all know what I'm talking about, them big old pants. And they had razor wire around them, is what they had over them. He had a big tank top on. I mean, he was just, he was a man. He'd make anybody in here look little. He'd make Bailey look little. He was big. And I looked at him, I said, Jeff, you're going to go to hell one day. Big tears swelled up in his eyes, and that old big fella started crying. He said, you're right. I said, but there's a God that loves you. There's a God that'll change your life. There's a God that'll save you, son. God change your life. Here he is, and I'm here. I scared to death at 22 years old, looked like I was 12. Me and him both got to squalling up there on the side of the hill at Kentucky State Penitentiary. Jeff said, preacher, you really mean it? I said, oh, no, I don't mean it. The Bible means it. I said, the Bible's true, son. I said, God change your life if you'll let Him. I watched old Jeff that day bow his head, ask God to forgive him of his sins and come into his heart and save him. I heard after he got out of prison, he's out now, and the last that I'd heard, which was several years ago, Jeff was very involved in a big motorcycle gang. Jeff had got out of all of that, and he was actually traveling the schools giving his testimony about how God had changed his life. Going to youth groups testifying about how God had changed his life. Amen. I want you to hear me this morning. If you're the best person sitting in this pew, on these pews, in the world's eyes, and you think you're the most moral person sitting here, if you're lost and going to hell, God will save you. Amen. Get your pride out of the way and forget about what everybody's going to think about you and get saved. And if you're here today and in your mind you think you're the worst person sitting on this pew, hear me and hear me well. There's a God that loves you, and there's a God that'll change your life. You don't have to continue. You don't have to go down the road of this and that and the other. God will save you today. you got to come to this point. You got to ask Him to do it. You got to ask Him to do it. Brother Corey, you ever tried to do something on your own and your wife was nearby, but you just about refused to ask her? Just you'd rather throw your back out. And then you realized, I'm a dummy. All I got to do is ask for help. Don't be the dummy today. Say, preacher, that's ugly. No, I'm just being honest. There's somebody that'll help you. There's somebody that'll change your life. I'm talking about if you think you're a good person, hey, if you're not saved, you're going to die and go to hell. If you cannot go back in your mind to a day you realized you was lost and on the road to hell, that you prayed and asked God to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and save you, I'm telling you, based on the authority of this King James Bible, you're going to die and go to hell. But if you can go back to a place where you realized you was lost and on the road to hell and you prayed to a thrice holy God and asked Him to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and save you, you can say as I do today, I'm saved, I'm hell proof, I'm glad that I've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and my life has been changed. God will do the same